In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority. Amen. Paul and Silas have been journeying. They started again in Syrian Antioch, and they headed through what we know as modern-day Turkey, and they headed into what we know of as Greece. They went into Philippi, were thrown in prison, and kicked out of town. Then last week they went into Thessalonica and got thrown out of town. And then they went into Berea, and after being initially received well, were thrown out of town. Paul heads alone south to Athens, and he's awaiting Silas and Timothy to join him later. And there, Paul takes the time, probably having never been in this great center of philosophy and learning in the whole ancient world, to walk around and to see what this city is like. And so Paul goes around this great city, where so many great philosophical ideas and philosophers and democracy and so many ideas that people treasured and held on to, that this city was the birthplace of that. And as Paul walks around this great city, we might think he would be excited and fascinated to see what he sees. But all that this greatest center of learning and wisdom brings Paul is frustration and irritation. Paul looks around and is disgusted at this city of greatest human achievement, wisdom, and philosophy. He sees that these people who think they're so smart and clever and wise and intelligent do not even know the true God. And all they care about is the works of their own hands and the ideas of their own heads. So Paul begins to preach Jesus. He goes into the synagogues as he has always gone into, and there in the synagogues he begins to preach to the Israelites and the Jews about Jesus again. But then he also goes into the marketplaces, and there he encounters the Gentiles and the philosophers, and he begins to tell them about Jesus. And two groups in particular, we are told, encounter and listen to Paul: the Epicureans and the Stoics. Now the Epicureans, their philosophy was this: that the pleasures of human life, the five senses, what you can see and touch and feel and listen to, this is the highest good. There is nothing else other than the material world. So immerse yourself in the material world, embrace it, and experience its pleasures. Now the Stoics, on the other hand, they believed in great self-control. Not letting pain and pleasure affect you. The greatest thing was to be in charge of yourself, to have autonomy, to be a self-made and self-sufficient man, unbothered by the waves of life. These two groups, two of the most important philosophies in the whole world, hear the preaching of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and they don't like what they hear. In fact, they are so frustrated that they drag Paul to Mars Hill, accusing him of preaching outside ideas and gods and deities. Now, to us, this may seem pretty innocent, but if we know our ancient history, this is a huge deal. Mars Hill was the place in Greek mythology where the god of war, Ares, was taken trial by 12 other gods for murdering the son of Poseidon. And you may remember Socrates, the great philosopher. He was accused and finally killed for preaching outside ideas, gods, and deities. Paul is not going to Mars Hill for some sort of convention on ideas. Paul is on trial for death. Mars Hill had a long history of putting to death murderers and people accused of going against the ideas of Athens. So here Paul stands again, his next city immediately on trial for death on Mars Hill. And these men, these great philosophers, these intelligent men, tell Paul, tell us what you are preaching about. Tell us these ideas you're talking about. We are unfamiliar with this. You are making us uncomfortable. You are disturbing our very fabric of way of life by preaching ideas that we, the smartest men in the world, have never heard of. And so Paul begins to preach. And he says, listen, men, Learned men, I can see that y'all love thinking. I see that you love your gods. I am not preaching an outside idea, God or deity. In fact, look at your own altar that you have in your city. There's an inscription on it that says, to the unknown God. I'm not preaching an outside deity. The God that I preach has an altar in your city. He is the unknown God. What you are ignorant of, I this day am going to open your eyes to. This God, the unknown God, is unlike all the other gods that you worship. This God is not served by humans. This God does not live in temples and buildings constructed by humans. This God is the creator of all things, the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in it. This is the God in whom all life comes through. In fact, this God is so pervasive and everywhere that he is moving and living and breathing among us. He is not very far from any of us. In fact, your very own philosophers, again, this isn't a new idea, says that this God, he is the one who made us and we are his offspring. I preach this unknown God to you because he has made himself known in new ways. Through Jesus, a man crucified down in Jerusalem, but God raised him from the dead. You think your gods are powerful. You think the works of your hands are powerful, but this God reversed death permanently. Stunned, but unable to put Paul to death because he has defended himself. He is not preaching outside deities and outside ideas. He is preaching one that they have had in their midst all along, but one they were ignorant of. Many are frustrated with Paul, but Paul just walks right through their midst out of the trial. But some convert to this way of life. And some say, wow, this idea of resurrection blows everything, every philosophical idea that we hold true, blows it out of the water. But we're interested. Maybe we'll listen a little bit more about this idea. And on Paul goes. In trouble again. Paul can't avoid it. Every time he goes into a city and he preaches the truth of Jesus, he finds himself in trouble. No different in Athens. And here he is accused of preaching outside ideas, things that are unfamiliar, uncomfortable to the people and their way of life. They thought they had life figured out. How can this man be coming in, giving them a wisdom that flies in the face of everything that they hold dear? This offends them deeply, insults their intelligence. And Paul attacks them, saying, look, you think you're smart and intelligent, but all you ultimately trust in is the work of your own hands and the implication for the Athenians in the thoughts of your own head. You're caught up in the arrogance thinking that you know what's best, that you actually control the gods and the truths and the ideas of the world. It's so easy for us in the 21st century to look back, gaze back 2,000 years and beyond, and to think that people were so stupid. They're little idols that they worshipped. We need to be careful not to be so arrogant. Paul's accusation to them is that they worship and trust in the works of their hands and the ideas of their heads. Are we not just as guilty of doing the same, as enlightened as we are in the 21st century? In fact, don't we do it even more so? We don't have little statues. We've become a lot more nuanced and subtle in the way that we worship the works of our hands and trust in the ideas of our head. I dare you to challenge the ideas of science in our world. to challenge medical advances. You will be laughed at and mocked right out of a building. We think we're so clever, so smart and intelligent. And yet we trust in the works of our hands and the ideas of our heads just as much, if not more so, than peoples that we would call primitive and stupid. When somebody gets sick in our world, what do we truly trust? We trust the works of our hands. The inventions, the technologies that we have developed, the ideas, the learning of human minds, that's what we trust, do we not? A pious few may pray to God, and a lot more may say their so-called prayers, but what are their prayers truly to? The doctors, the researchers, the machines, save us. And when the world seems to be crashing down around us and things like maybe climate change are looming upon us, we think we're smart enough, we're clever enough, oh, we're intelligent. The works of our hands have always saved us. We'll come up with new technologies and ways to avoid destroying ourselves. Oh, we trust in things. They're not God, the creator of all. They're the works and technologies of our hands, the ideas of our learning, our smartness. We trust in our brains. So if Paul were to walk around our 21st century world, what would he accuse us and be disgusted of? Would he not see that we are idol worshipers in the same way as the Athenians or any culture in the ancient world that Paul messed with? We think we're so smart, and yet we forget the power of the Creator, who made us from nothing, whose very presence in life we depend on. As Paul says, without the Creator giving us the breath of life and moving among us, we would not live. But we ignore the Creator. He's invisible because just like the Epicureans, we think it's only the material world that exists. Spirits, anything beyond the things we can touch and feel, they're not really real. We're no different than the Athenians. And Paul challenges us this day saying, God has appointed Jesus to judge all human civilization, all human technologies and the works of our hands. God has overlooked our ignorance. We think we're smart, but we may be dumber than we ever thought. God, the Creator, is going to overlook our ignorance. And He's calling us to repent this day. Turn away from the foolish trust in human technologies, in the works of your hands and the ideas of your head. Run to the Creator. He's invisible, but His presence and His evidence of His presence is everywhere if you just look. He is the only one we can trust. We think if we can just have enough time, we'll cure cancer. Maybe we'll stop aging. No, we won't. We'll continue to die ignorant and lost. Only through Jesus is death and true healing come. Resurrection, new creation life that no smarts of human minds, no technological development could ever match. The resurrection of the dead. The Creator Himself, His power stepping into the world and reversing the brokenness that we've created. This is what we trust. So much more powerful than any human technology. So turn away from the works of our hands. Turn away from the arrogance of thinking we know what's up. The Creator, revealed through Jesus, is the only real power in the world. Trust in Him. Cling to Him. Through Him there is life. This world will be set right. throw your life into his hands. His power is a real power. He makes human power look weak. Amen.